talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
Good.
There we go. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
How's everything going?
It's good. It's kind of weird now that I have really nothing to do.
Do you like that, or do you always need something to do?
No, I like it for like 2 weeks, and then I'm like, all right, I'm bored.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like that's a sweet spot. Like you get to do something fun.
Exactly.
Well, you've had quite the year. You're finalist for Goalkeeper of the Year. That's so exciting. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I was excited. It's great, but had a lot to do with my defense last year. I think they helped a lot. And you know, the year before that, it was a little more shaky. But yeah, no, I'm excited. So
what do you attribute? Well, you did say the defense. What else do you attribute that to, like your success this past year?
Well, I would say it was my second year. So my first year I kind of used to, like, you know, get used to the league, kind of get a feel for it. And then we got Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett. And I think anytime you add players like that, it makes my job so much easier. And I think it also helped, like, the younger girls on our team, the midfielders, the six, and, you know, just the collective group. Like, we have more direction and, like, you know, just better leadership. And so I think they really helped with that.
We've had them both on the podcast, and they're both like awesome leaders in different ways.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, when we talked to Abby, it felt like we were like old friends, all of us. Like,
yeah. And some of the stuff says, you're like, how do you even think about that?
That's great.
Yeah.
So we always ask people what the transfer or the transition was like from playing college to playing professional. And we usually ask that question of field players, and they always talk about like the speed of play and the physicality and everything. But from a goal perspective, what was the biggest difference for you in terms of the transition from college to pro?
That's a good question. First, I think it was just being patient. You know, when you come from college, you normally play every minute, and then you get to the pros and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna sit on the bench for a long time. So for me, that was a pretty big deal. But also just, you know, the pace of the ball, the decisions you have to make that are faster. You're going against some of the best forwards in the world, and having to know how to deal with that, but also how to play out of pressure. But I had such a good mentor in Aubrey Bledsoe, now Kingsbury. And so I think that was such an amazing part for me to learn quickly and fast, is just having her as my mentor and being able to watch her and kind of get, you know, her feelings on how to deal with some situations. And that really helped me a lot.
Yeah, it's got to be hard when, like, there's only one spot that a goalkeeper can play. So when you're not playing, it's got to be hard. You know, it's not like a field player where you could just be thrown around in any other position. What's that like? Because I know there's so many players who are listening who have, they're sitting the bench as goalkeepers, and they might not even have a chance to get in. But like, how do you deal with that mentally? But, you know, supporting your team while from the bench, if you're ever in that position.
Yeah, for me, I think I just leaned on, you know, the fact that I had gotten there for a reason. I wasn't drafted, but I was taken in Washington. And I just said, I'm going to use this year to kind of learn everything I can from Aubrey. And obviously, I didn't know I was going to get taken in the expansion draft, but I kind of used that experience. So when I got to Louisville, I knew that, you know, there was a chance I could play. I just needed to keep working hard. So I honestly just stayed patient and, like, trusted in the training. And Sergio, our goalkeeper coach here, completely changed my game. And so I just stayed patient with his direction, and I kind of trusted that, you know, I was going to eventually get somewhere. And then when my time came, I kind of grabbed it and was like, I'm ready. I feel confident. But for the longest time, you know, it's hard to stay patient. After 2 to 3 months, you kind of think, well, am I wasting my time, or, you know, am I ever going to be where I really wanted to be? And I just trusted that I was going to fight and I was going to do whatever it took. And yeah, I kind of rolled with that mentality, and some days were good and some days were bad, but it paid off.
When you're having your low moments of like, this is frustrating, or like, this seems hopeless, or what am I doing wrong? And you're very shifted, like, internally, you know, kind of judging yourself and being hard on yourself. How do you, like, recenter yourself and refocus yourself back to, like, the bigger picture?
Yeah, my thing was to always, you know, I was there for soccer, but then I also did things outside of soccer that kind of got my mind away from things. And so I kind of used that. So if I had a bad practice, like I did something else to go, you know, I did hot yoga or I went shopping or I hung out with friends, but I did other things to kind of distract my mind from soccer and kind of get away from that for a little bit. And I think for me, that's the key to my success is kind of when I'm playing and when I'm focusing on soccer, I do it so well. But then when there's time to not think about soccer, I think that really helps my mind and kind of keeps me calm because I could just sit there and watch film for hours, but that's not going to do any good after, you know, a couple hours. So I don't beat myself up too much about it. And I try to kind of focus on other things as well.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up because it's just so much healthier to have like a balanced mindset when it comes because you play a sport for a living. But like if you are doing everything 100% for soccer all the time,
yeah,
you're going to burn yourself out or it's just not going to be fun for you anymore. So what are you passionate about off the field? Like, is there anything, do you have any hobbies? But you know, besides hanging with friends and stuff, anything specific?
Yeah, well, in Louisville, there's so many random things to do. I found I really loved hot yoga. So I did that early in the season during the winter when I was like freezing cold. I'd go do hot yoga with some friends. There's a bunch of coffee shops around. I love watching sports. And so doing that and trying to find other sports teams to go support. I love to run errands. I love to clean. I love to do random things just around the house. I love decorating my room, my friends' rooms. So honestly, I just try to like after practice, go find something to do instead of just stay at home and sit down. And there's so many things you can find with other friends. Yeah, it's honestly just random stuff. You have a lot of downtime, so you can't just sit at home all day or drive me crazy.
Do you feel like having relationships off the field with players shows on the field as well? Specifically maybe your defense, like do you feel like you guys helps?
I think it's important to know each other off the field, but on the field knowing they're having a bad day or how to motivate them. And some people don't like to be yelled at and then they need better communication, and I think you can read that off the field a lot more. So it was nice to kind of get to know Abby and Carson this year. We became really good friends, did stuff outside of soccer, which is always the best part. And then just like having, me and Jalen are pretty good friends. She plays the six. And so being able to read when she wants the ball and when she doesn't, when she gets mad, knowing, just to relax, don't get frustrated. But no, I have such a good friend group at Louisville that it's like so, so great. Cause we can, talk about soccer, but then we can just be real friends outside of it.
I feel like specifically for goalies, it's such an art form to figure out what works for each of your players too. I feel like the dynamic is so different. Like how you said, like some people you can't yell at, some you can. So that's like, that probably takes time, but it definitely pays off when you can figure it out.
Yeah. I remember when Abby and Carson first got there, we were all kind of nervous, like, oh, they're big timers coming in. Like, are they going to be our friend or whatnot? Now we just joke about it because they're two of the nicest people. But it's important. I really do think and believe that.
What about coaching style? Is there a certain type of style that you gravitate towards? Are you good at adapting on different teams, whether that was like your college team or now? Like anything, or even like specifically your goalkeeping coaching style. Is there anything that you feel like works well for you?
Yeah, I think for me, when I was at Arkansas, we played a way different style than we do in the pros. It was more kind of going direct and, hitting the longest ball I possibly could, which works for them. That's how they attack. But then I think when I got to the pros, I learned, we like to play out of the back a little bit more. And I think I've gotten better at that and playing, a little bit longer ball when I need to. I think for me, Sergio just fits perfectly in the way we play. It's just, a little bit less aggressive and not as high off my line, because then I can make saves when I come back. Sometimes goalkeepers will get stuck too high and commit when they shouldn't. And so I think for me, I'm kind of in that balance of play a little bit higher, but not too high. I like to, drop back on my line a little bit more where people would like to come out. And I think I just use my height to my advantage. And I think my reaction skills are pretty good to where I don't have to go out as far. But definitely working on, getting higher up to help the team in possession. But, we trust Abby and our center backs to make some of those plays. So it honestly just depends on the personnel. But I'm continuing to adapt so that, if we want to change our formation with our new coach, hopefully coming in soon. I'll be there.
Do you have any tips for other keepers who are maybe struggling with adapting to a new style of coaching or play?
Yeah, I would say just be patient. I know sometimes you'll make mistakes. I've definitely made mistakes in the pros, and it is a learning curve and it's a learning experience, and it does suck for a couple of days, but you get over it. You realize you're going to make mistakes. Last year, I made a big mistake, caused a foul. And that was hard for me for a really long time because that was my first big pro mistake. And, you know, my coach and teammates were so awesome. They kind of got behind me and was like, you didn't ruin the game. You know, it happens. You're young and you'll learn from it. And I feel like I truly did learn from it. And so, yeah, it sucks for about 2 to 3 days and you'll watch the clips. You gotta move on and know it's part of it. Cause if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning, and you know, other people are making mistakes and learning and even getting, you know, better than you. So yeah, you'll be okay.
That's a nice feeling though, to have, if you do make a mistake, to have your teammates and coaching supporting you, because it's going to happen. Everyone's going, it's just harder for as a goalie when you make a mistake, it's seeing the spotlight and
yeah.
But that is really nice. Yeah. I know you mentioned that you went to Arkansas, and before that you were at Texas Christian. What was that like to transfer schools? Yeah. Was that a challenging decision? Was it a stressful one? Were you, I know when we've spoken to other players about it, like part of it is the new journey and then like maybe like hurting people's feelings, teammates, friends. Can you tell us about your experience with that? What that was like?
Yeah. So when I transferred from TCU to Arkansas, you know, the rule, what was it called? The grad transfer rule wasn't as popular. I think it was kind of the start of when I decided to. And, you know, my teammates and I at TCU were so close, and I think they knew that I was ready to move on and for a new challenge. I also wanted to get my master's in one year, and that wasn't going to be the case at TCU. And so when I went through the recruiting process, everyone or my close friends at TCU knew, and, you know, they had my back. And when I went to Arkansas for one day, of course, Colby and Sammy just like wowed me, and the girls there were awesome. And I knew going home, I was going to go there. But when I first got there, I obviously didn't know many people. I only knew a couple of girls, so it was a little intimidating, but I just knew, you know, this was my last semester. I really wanted to do well, and I knew the team had the potential. And so it was a no-brainer for me, and I'm so glad I did it. Won the SEC that year. And honestly, I think that brought the joy back of soccer for me and allowed me to have the opportunity to go to Washington straight after. So I'm forever grateful for that decision to transfer. It was scary, but I think it was totally worth it. And I'm so happy I did.
Why did you, when you said it brought the joy back, why do you think you had the joy before that? Or what changed for you with that?
Yeah, I just think, you know, senior year, it was just kind of, I was ready for something new. I was ready for something else. And, you know, Arkansas just had the right people, the right coaching staff to just kind of bring that joy out of you. And we were winning and we were playing against top teams, you know, Tennessee, South Carolina. We were, you know, the SEC is such a great conference, and I think I always saw that and wondered if I could actually compete in that level. And so I was doing well. Our team was doing well. We just had so much fun together. And so I think that was the reason why I was like, wow, like, I really do like this. Because, you know, before that, I didn't know if I really wanted to play pro. I wanted to, but I didn't know if I was good enough. And so then I was just kind of, and the coaching staff kind of gave me that confidence to like, you better go try it, or, you know, you better put your name in the draft. So yeah, it was a bunch of stuff, but yeah.
Do you have any advice for any players who are looking to transfer?
Yeah, I would say first, you know, for me, what I did, I just spoke to my family. I had a goalkeeper coach from my club level that I kind of talked to and was like, do you think that this would be worth it? And kind of just internally thought about it before I made any moves, before I talked to, you know, the TCU coaching staff about it. Because once you do say something, I think you kind of open a whole different, you know, window there. So for me, I just kind of thought about it for a while, thought, will this really be what's going to happen? And I also gave it a lot of thought. I just didn't make the decision in one day. I kind of let it, you know, happen over time because I didn't want to make any decisions too fast. So gave it a while, knew it was going to happen, and then kind of just opened the door from there. But I had a lot of people that were in line to help me, which was great because I played for Sting. And so I had a lot of resources there, which was nice. But yeah, I just went for it and it was worth it.
It's nice to have that soundboard and to have people to talk to during that stuff, because that could be feel like a lonely time when you're trying to make big decisions. Yeah. Like, so what was your master? What'd you get your master's in?
I got my master's in operations management. So I did business at TCU, and then it kind of complemented And it was nice because I did it online. So when I went to Washington Spirit, I got to finish online. And then COVID happened. So it was honestly perfect.
There you go. Yeah. So if you didn't play soccer or far down the line when you retire, what would you want to do? Would you use that or something else that you would be interested in?
My senior year at TCU, I actually took the LSAT to go to law school. And funny story, after Arkansas, I didn't get drafted. And I told my parents, like, if I don't get drafted, it's just not meant to be, you know, and that's okay. I totally get it. And so I had a job lined up for that Monday, and I was going to go to law school at OU right after that, you know, semester. And then on Sunday night, Washington Spirit called my agent, and I signed with them, and I had to call the workplace and say, I'm so sorry. I'm actually going to go play pro in Washington. And honestly, back then I laugh now because I never thought I would be here. But I just took the chance, and my parents convinced me. They're like, you have to at least try, because I was a little still uneasy. But yeah.
That's nice that your parents supported that decision, because that was probably really hard to decide. And I feel like if my parents were pushing me to go one way, like, I'd still make my decision, but it's like, it's hard.
No, it was really hard, but it was so worth it. And I laugh about it today because I could have been a lawyer by now, but that's all right.
It all everything happens for a reason.
I think. Totally believe that. Yeah, I agree.
Sound like you have kind of always, or at least since you're like being an adult, have had an understanding of who you are off the field. You sound like you have a healthy balance of both things. And you, if soccer were to be taken from you, you sound like you have, you know, a foundation of who you are outside of soccer. Have you always had that sort of balance? And I'm just curious, like, what helped you explore who you are off the field? And do you have any advice? Because I think a lot of girls, either the game gets taken away from them from an injury, or, you know, they realize their journey is going to stop and it's not going to go as far as they wanted it to go. And then they try to see who they are as a person outside of soccer. And I'm just curious how you were able to do, you know, both at the same time. And if you have any advice.
I think my parents just really helped me, you know, kind of set that standard of when I went to college, I needed a major that I wanted to do in case soccer wasn't the answer after college. And I think I believed in that. I saw them, hardworking people that didn't get to play soccer for a living and they weren't athletes. And so they really pushed me to, you know, choose a major that I'd be interested in, but that I would make, you know, I'd be happy with after school. And then when I was in college, I had friends outside of, you know, the athletic bubble. And I think that gave me a different perspective on, you know, life's not all about soccer, even though I'm such a, you know, sports lover. Is I had a different side of my life that was kind of different. And so I really leaned on those friends, and I hung out with them a lot when I, you know, I needed a break from soccer. So I always had that backup plan. And then, you know, like, you're in college, you see girls, you know, tear their ACL and never come back. And I always had that fear that if that happened to me, knock on wood, you know, I needed a fallback and I needed something that I'd be happy on. Otherwise, I would have been just like destroyed and I would have wasted, you know, my time in college. And for me, that's different than other people. You know, they might have another journey or another thing that they wanted to do. But I just knew that I needed a backup plan so that I could, you know, reverse if soccer didn't work out. But yeah, I've always been that person that has always pushed myself really hard in soccer, but I've always found a balance because that's when I'm happiest. And that's when I feel like I'm performing at my highest level, and not always, you know, soccer. I always had something to kind of get my mind away, and it wasn't constant. And there were days that I should have relaxed a little bit more, but I think as I get older, I'm realizing, you know, it's not all about soccer. You can have a life. It's different. It's different than, you know, an average person's life, but there is a balance.
And I love that. That's great advice. And I just love that you've showed that you can go all in.
Yeah.
The dream that you're trying to achieve while also, you know, just developing yourself as a person off the field. And it doesn't mean that you're giving any less of yourself to soccer. It just means that, you know, you're just establishing yourself as a human being a little bit more as a whole. So I love that advice.
Yeah.
If you're up for it, we'd love to go into some rapid fire questions, a little bit more lighthearted and silly.
All right. I'm down.
All right. First one, starting off strong. What sport do you wish you were good at? Were you a multi-sport athlete too?
Yeah, I played all sports, but I'm good at tennis, but I wish I was like pro level tennis.
Okay, what's a world record you have a shot at beating?
Man, these are hard. A shot at, I'm pretty good at.
Weird. It could be anything.
I can juggle tennis balls. I think I could do that for a while.
Wow.
The record's probably really high. I don't know if I could do that.
It's probably like weeks long. But
yeah. I don't have time for that, but no, I love juggling. I got grounded one time and I learned how to juggle in my room one time by myself.
You were like, ha, it's jokes on your parents.
Exactly. Yeah.
You really wanted to be grounded.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. What is your spirit animal?
A llama. I love llamas. My mom loves llamas. Everyone on the team knows I love llamas. I don't know why. They're just cute.
Have you had interactions with real life llamas?
I've seen them. I know they spit a lot. I don't like that part, but I just think they're cute and like random. Yeah.
You gotta go pet.
Everyone makes fun of me for it, but it's okay.
I think that's a great weird niche animal to love.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't heard that one yet.
There you go.
Okay, what's one thing you can't travel without on an away game, on a away trip?
Headphones. Yeah,
that's pretty. Is there anything else? Like
I bring my iPad everywhere I go, but
oh, that's a good one.
Don't even use it. Yeah.
That's usually, yeah.
It's one of those like comfort items.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with any athlete from any sport, who would it be and why?
Serena Williams. Easy.
Easy.
I just think she's amazing. I followed tennis since I was really young, and now that her husband's invested in LA, I'd love to meet her. But the things she's done for women's sports in general, and just, you know, the record she's, you know, smashed. Yeah, it would easily be her. I've always looked up to her. And yeah.
What kind of dinner would you guys go get?
I don't know. Maybe a nice steak dinner.
You gotta impress her if you're gonna
exactly.
Take her.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it?
What would be on it? Ooh, maybe I go like a Texas back to my roots and do like a barbecue pulled brisket sandwich or something like that with some barbecue sauce. It's funny. We'll go to like Kansas City and other places that claim they have good barbecue. And then I'm like disappointed after. I'm like, you guys got to try regular Dallas barbecue.
That's where it's top tier.
That's top tier. Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
What is the best thing you can cook?
Oh, man. Cook, bake. I can do a really good angel food cake.
That is the best cake.
I just got into it, and I can't stop making them. Yeah.
That cake. That's good.
Yeah. My friends at Louisville, they like to cook more than I do. They'll say I don't try, but I do. They just would rather cook themselves.
There you go. Desserts are where it's at anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
And last one, what's your biggest soccer girl problem?
I don't know. I'd have to say maybe like in the summer when I'm wearing long sleeves and long pants, like everyone else gets like a pretty good tan and I'm like still pale. So maybe that.
Is your head the only thing that gets tan?
Yes. And then when I wear shorts, everyone's like, whoa, I've never seen you with your legs out. And I'm like, sorry.
Yeah. Man, that's
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. That's the end of our random out of pocket questions to ask you. But no, we appreciate you so much telling us a little bit about your journey and hearing your perspective on just knowing who you are off the field and on the field is really refreshing because I still don't have that figured out, not even play anymore. So.
Hey, eventually it'll happen.
These days I'll figure it out.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I love your stuff, and yeah.
We appreciate you so much for taking the time out of your day.
Awesome. All right. Have a good day, you guys.
Bye.